And we're going to read one verse together in unison. We're reading from the King James Bible. Isaiah 43 and verse number 2. Isaiah 43, verse 2. And let's read together in unison, shall we? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I'm going to talk to you this morning about what do you do when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut? What do you do when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut? And everything, as it says in Psalm 61 and Psalm 124, where you feel overwhelmed, like you feel a flood of things just overwhelming you. Well, I'm going to talk to you about that subject this morning, amen? So let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. What great salvation we have, dear God. We neglect so great salvation, we really do. We don't realize the depth, the height, the breadth, the width of what a great salvation we have, what a great God we serve. I thank you, dear God, for the King James Bible. I thank you, Lord, that it is the very word of God this morning so that we can read it and hear and listen and know what you said in thy word. Dear Holy Spirit of God, thank you, Lord, for convicting of us of our sins. I thank you, Lord, for being in our hearts. Dear God, for impressing upon our minds and our consciences to do that which is right. Thank you for church again this morning. Thank you for the folks that are here. I pray that you bless the junior church inside upstairs. Lord, please meet with us now. Lord, I know most folks are having a tough time these days, whether financially, health-wise, relationships, family, children, whatever the case may be, work. I pray, Lord, that we pay attention, and I pray that this will be a help. I just want to be a help this morning and an encouragement. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What do you do when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut? I got quite a few points here. I don't know if I've counted them all. I have 17 points of what you can do. Number one. I think I try to list these, at least the first few, in order of importance, probably. Now, there may be some they're out of order. I'll grant you that, whichever way you want to put them in. But the first thing is think and meditate what's so great salvation that you have in Hebrews 2:3. We don't realize how great a salvation we have. We take it for granted. If nothing else ever worked out right in our entire lives, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you're a child of God, you've been born again, you're on your way to heaven, you're going to be with Jesus forever, amen? No man can take that away. You can't lose that. You're eternally secure if you've trusted Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only for your salvation. I think we talk too little about salvation. I think we tell others too little about salvation. We tell too many people too many other things in the Bible instead of the most important thing we all tell them about the salvation that God has for people. The first thing you ought to do is just sit back and say, you know what? I'm glad I'm saved. I am glad I'm saved. Because the fact that you're saved brings into focus all these other points I'm going to talk to you this morning. Without being saved, without having the Spirit of God, you're not going to get the following points, ladies and gentlemen. So the first thing is know that you're saved. Amen. Number two, thank God that you have the Word of God that contains every word of God. Matthew 4:4, where man is commanded to live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You ought to thank God that you have in your lap, in your possession, somewhere you can get a hold of God's word and know what God says. Not wanting to hear some audible voice, not some dream or some vision that you might have late at night because you have too much pepperoni at night and you're starting to have nightmares, you know. You can't get to sleep and you can't figure out if it's a nightmare or some vision that you're listening to or watching. But thank God we have a more sure word of prophecy written in pen and ink in front of us that we can know exactly what God says. Because without this, you can't, it opens up. If you don't have this, it won't open up the other points I'm talking about. Salvation opens up the book. The book opens up all these other points. I'll tell you what, the dearest possession I have on planet Earth is my King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. You can take anything else you want. And you can burn all the Bibles I have. We must have hundreds, 50 Bibles in my home, maybe. You can burn them all you want. But thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee, amen. And Jesus in my heart. You can't take Jesus out of my heart, amen. And just Lord willing, the more I read the Bible, the more I memorize the Bible, the more God will bring it back to mind when I need some verses, amen. That's why it's so important for you to memorize your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. But I thank God that I have the Word of God. I thank God I have the King James Bible for comfort when I need it, for wisdom when I need it, for counsel when I need it, and for encouragement when I need it. Number three, I want to thank God for the opportunity of prayer. Amen. I want to thank God that I can go before God's throne of grace to find help in a time of need, according to Hebrews 4, verse number 16. If you take your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah 65, please. Isaiah 65, we're nearby. God goes by a lot of names in the Bible. Well, I think I got the wrong one. It might be, hold on. It's Psalm 65. I apologize. Psalm 65. Huh. I had ISA. It should have been PSA. Old age, ladies and gentlemen. Psalm 65. Verse number 2. God goes by a lot of names in the Bible. No greater name than Jesus, by the way. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, ladies and gentlemen. But in Isaiah 65, verse number 2, it's interesting. Here's what one of God's names is. It says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that hearest prayer. God wants to hear your prayer, amen. God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you talking to Him. God wants to hear your heart. Amen. I don't care if you got problems in school. I don't care if you got problems in life. I don't care if you got problems in your family. I don't care if you got problems financially. I don't care what your problems are. You ought to thank God that you're saved. You ought to thank God you got a King James Bible. And you ought to thank God you can go to God 24/7, as we say. Amen. God's not on an appointment schedule, amen. He doesn't have to say, well, let me check my schedule book first if I can fit you in, amen. Thank God we can go to God right now while we're sitting in the pews. We can go to God during the invitation. We can go to God 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We can go to God at any time we want, ladies and gentlemen. God's always available and God's always open, amen. Amen. Number 4, thank God for church. I'm talking about what do you do when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut and you don't know what to do? Yeah. Just remember that you're saved, amen. Just thank God you got a King James Bible. Hello? Thank God you can go to the throne of grace, amen. Because you're going to need it. In time of need, you're going to need some help. And thank God for a place called church, amen. A church is a place for fellowship. It's a place for preaching. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we see that day approaching sooner and sooner, quicker and quicker, amen. That trumpet is about to sound, ladies and gentlemen. Wouldn't it be great when the trumpet sounds and we're all in church? Wouldn't it be great if the trumpet sounds and we're reading our Bibles, amen? Wouldn't it be great if the trumpet sounds, we're praying or going soul winning, amen? Think about that. But church is for preaching and for teaching. Church is a place where you can see professions of people professing Jesus Christ to be their Savior. A church is a place, not a building. It's a group of baptized believers, ladies and gentlemen. But it's a place where you can come and see people getting baptized. It's a place where the prayer meeting is held, where people are praying for one another and for strangers and for loved ones and for family members. It's a time where you hear praise reports and how God's blessing others. It's a time where you hear how God has answered prayers for people. It's a time where you hear about announcements from the pulpit where somebody needs help. Or people have been married, or people, I did a funeral Tuesday, I think it was this week, and four or five people got saved by raising their hand, and they just trusted Christ to be their Savior, and they came up to me afterwards crying, I mean adult people, and just, you know, I got saved, and thank you, that was very good, and a lady came to our church, I did her funeral, she hadn't come in for years, but she had cancer, she passed away, and I did her son's funeral when he died. It's an amazing thing. And I talked to Barbara Labonte before she died. And look, everybody's nervous before they die because no one's gone through the doors of death before. But my wife went and I to see her. My wife and I went to see her. And I went another time before she passed away. But I've never seen anybody that was as calm as she was before knowing that she was going to die, knowing that she had cancer. And I came away from here's, you know, I try to comfort somebody, you know, try to bless somebody, try to be encouragement to somebody, read some Bible verses, you know, we prayed together. And I came away from here more encouraged than she was encouraging me probably, amen. I mean, could you have cancer like that, knowing that you're going to die only 3 months later, 6 months later? But being an encouragement, knowing that you're going to see Jesus, knowing that you're going to be in heaven, amen. What a blessing, that salvation is, ladies and gentlemen, amen, and knowing Jesus Christ. But church is a place for that. A church is a place, again, as we said, where people get married. You hear about births and deaths and people's difficulties and problems and heartaches and joys, where people volunteer for work. I mean, this is a place where before we had a city hall, by the way, before we had a Grange hall, by the way, before we had a town meeting hall, by the way, it used to be the church hall, amen. It used to be the church building, amen. It used to be the people of God in the church where they met and they heard the news of the community, where people heard somebody needed help. Thank God we have church. I'll tell you why all this helps when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut, ladies and gentlemen. Number five, soul winning. I can't think of anything else I can do to fight Satan, who has given you and I difficulties in life, to give him a good kick in the teeth, amen? I can't think of anything better that I could do than win somebody else in Jesus Christ. Going out and giving the gospel to someone and then leading someone to Jesus Christ will do more for eternity. It will get God's attention and kick Satan in his gut. It'll bring joy to others, and that joy that comes to others will allow you to receive God's joy at the same time. To see somebody else's life and their eternity change because you gave them the gospel and they said yes to Jesus Christ, you walk away from that, you won't be the same. I'm telling you, I still remember the first two people I led to Jesus Christ, my grandmother and another Marine on base at Camp Lejeune. I still remember, I walked away from there thinking, wow, little old John Kalitas, flesh and bones, sinner John Kalitas, was able to give the gospel to somebody and tell somebody how to go to heaven, and they pray and ask Jesus Christ to save their soul. And I don't care what kind of problems you have, they're not bigger than getting people saved, amen? Are you listening to me? I don't care what kind of heartache you have. I don't care how difficult it may be right now for you. There's nothing more important. I'm telling you, the reason you and I are still here is to get people saved, ladies and gentlemen. Number six. Remember, God never promised you an easy life where everything goes easy or goes your way. God's never promised you to have an easy life. You won't find that in the Bible. I mean, you look at the Apostle Paul. You look at Stephen, Jesus. You look you get the Fox's Book of Martyrs in this bookstore and read what happened to the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read what happened about Jeremiah and Daniel. God's never offered anybody a rose garden, an easy time in life. As a matter of fact, God's called us to suffering. Now, hardly nobody wants to do that anymore. Nobody wants is willing to suffer, but God has called us to suffering. Remember that God has never promised you an easy life where everything goes easy or your way. Number seven, when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut, most such moments are not as bad as they seem in the long run. Do not take a snapshot of one incident or one time frame and blow it out of proportion over the long haul, over their entire life. It's very easy for people to just get fixated on just one snapshot. Life is full, ladies and gentlemen, of good things and bad things, ups and downs. Some people can't get over. You see them on talk show hosts, on radio, on television. You see them, and they just whine and complain. They're just bitter. They're mourners. They're just upset. And one thing, they just can't let go of it, and it bothers them for like 5 years, and 10 years, and 20 years, and 30 years, and they become very bitter, ladies and gentlemen. Most, not all of them. Some are very serious matters. Don't misunderstand me. But most such moments when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut are not as bad as they seem in the long run. At first, they don't seem that bad. They seem bad at first, but in the long run, if you take over the long span of life, it's usually not as bad as it seems. Number eight, always look for the silver lining in every storm. Focus on what good impact it may now have or may eventually have. You either look at the glass half full or half empty. When I look at life, I always look for what good comes out of it. I can see the bad there. Everybody does. But you should try to focus for the silver lining, amen? And say, what good can come out of this? Number nine. Be willing to learn from it and examine yourself to see how God can use this to make you better and not bitter. You ought to be willing, when something happens in your life, you ought to be willing to learn from it. I don't care whether it hurts or not. And by the way, those are the most sobering times to learn, amen? You know, somebody once said, why is it said experience is only something that you had that you just needed, but you didn't have before. Something like that. You can only get experience by going through these trials. You can only have experience by going through the storms. You can only have experience by hurting. You can only have experience through tribulations. You don't try to avoid them. You go through them. Well, if you're going to go through these problems or heartaches or burdens, be willing to learn from it and examine yourself to see how God can use this to make you better, not bitter. There's only one difference between the word better and the word bitter. It's the letter E and the letter I. If you look on eternal things, E, you'll become better for it. If you only look on the immediate, on the immediacy, you'll become a very bitter person. If you don't look at the long picture, if you don't look at eternity, you'll become upset, mad, you'll be despondent, you'll be depressed, you'll start to drink, you'll take drugs, you'll start gambling, you'll ruin your life, you don't know what to do. You'll just get mad. That's a very immature action to take. But if you take it all in, thank God that you're saved. Thank God you have a Bible. Thank God you have church, you know. Thank God you can tell somebody. Thank God you go to prayer, to God in prayer. Thank God you can go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. If you take all that in, you will become better for it, ladies and gentlemen. Number 10. Look to see if God is using it in your life to correct something that may not be right, or using it to refine you to get you closer to Jesus. You know, if you read the book of Job, I don't think anybody in life has ever gone through what Brother Job has gone through. Lost all his 10 children. Have you ever lost 10 children in one day? Or buried 10 days, 10 in one day. Have you ever been the richest man in the world, Bill Gates, and lost it all in one day? Have you ever been the picture of health one day and putrefying sores and boils from the top of your crown to the bottom of your soles in one day? And the worst thing in your life, God didn't take away, was a complaining, bitter wife who said, curse God and die. I can't use you now. I can't. You're no good for me now. You can't produce anything now. I have no money. Just curse God and die. I don't know of anybody in all of written history that's ever gone through what Job's gone through. My suggestion is, if you're going through a tough time, read the book of Job, amen? But you ought to look to see, and by the way, Job was an upright, non-righteous man. He eschewed evil, the Bible says. So Job was not judged of God for any sins that he committed, but God did refine Job and purge some things out of his life. For instance, like his pride, maybe. Well, sometimes God has to do that with us, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes we need a wake-up call. And we ought to look to see if God is using this present time in our lives to correct something that may not be right, or God is using it to refine us to get us closer to Jesus Christ. Because isn't that what we ought to be anyway? Closer to Jesus, amen? Isn't that your goal? Isn't that what your aim in life is? To love God more than you loved Him yesterday? To be more in love with Jesus than you've ever been before? Sometimes it takes God chastising us. Sometimes it takes God correcting us. Sometimes it takes God refining us. Sometimes it takes God taking things away from us. We may not like to hear that, but it's true, ladies and gentlemen. Number 11. Be very slow, deliberate, and wise to make changes in the heat of the moment. Too many people make a rash decision because of the heat of the moment. Too many people get fired because they said the wrong thing at the wrong time at work. Yeah. Too many people have been separated and divorced for one irrational moment that they said something they should not have said or done something they shouldn't have done. Many people have ruined their lives because something happened, they couldn't deal with it, they went out to drink, and they're spending time in prison for 5 or 10 years drunk driving, killing somebody. Drugs. Any addiction. You better be careful in the heat of a moment, when you're upset and angry, that you make major decisions. You better be careful. As a matter of fact, I would back off any major decisions, and I would make any major decisions while you're upset, angry, or mad. It's a good time to preach, though, but I wouldn't make any major decisions. Number 12. It may be that only one area in your life needs repair or help. Not every area in your life. So fix that area in your life that needs repair. It's like, all right, I have a white thumb this morning, okay? About 2 months maybe, 2 months ago, I'm in my shed. John's helping me carry a big, heavy piece of marble. Actually, there's two of them, but one piece of marble into the shed. We're bringing it in there. It was dark, which I shouldn't have done it. It's like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, I don't remember. And you can't see, but trying to feel your way back there. You know, I'm backing up. And I step on a dolly. And I'm holding the marble like this. And that dolly, when I stepped on it, came back and pow, hit my thumb. Amen. And the nail's coming off right now. That's why it's been like that for 2 months, but it's coming off right now. So I had to tape it off. I had to tape it a little bit. But you know what? When you have a wound, pay attention. Pay attention. When you have a wound in your body, when you have a cut, the red blood cells race to the part that's hurt or bleeding to heal that area. That's the area that needs fixing. When your roof is leaking, you don't go around telling anybody, man, look how great the 95% of my roof is. Look, 95% of my roof is great. No, you know what you do? You fix that 1% or 2% or 5% and he's fixing. Same thing is true in life, ladies and gentlemen. Just because something majors happen, maybe through no fault of your own, or could be your fault. Fix the area that needs repairing and fixing. Don't start changing other areas because now you're upset and you don't know what to do. I've seen churches ruined just because of that. They start tinkering things because something happened bad in the church, and it was bad. But they got rid of all their buses, stopped going soul winning. Was what the, in my opinion, the best independent fundamental Baptist church in the Capital District area. They sold their building to an evangelical, ecumenical, mishmash, hogwash, slop. You know why? Because somebody was hurt, a lot of people were hurt, and they started changing everything. No, you don't have to change everything, just change the part that needs fixing. Your life may not be all messed up. It may be just one area that maybe you're too gullible. Maybe you trusted the wrong person. I don't know. Maybe one decision brought this on. I don't know. But on reflection, on self-examination, fix the area or areas that only need fixing. Leave the other areas alone if they're doing right. Number 13. Never overreact and change or adjust other areas that need no fixing. I guess that's with 12 too. Just like the wheel of a car, if you know anything about driving, when I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team, and I loved driving. Loved driving. Too much. I love driving too much. I was asked during a wrestling banquet if I would drive for the Atco Speedway in South Jersey. And my parents would have killed me if I said yes. I was 17 or 18 years old at that time, I don't know, but I love driving. If you know anything about driving, if you're a good driver, you know that one of the worst things that you can do is overreact and jerk the wheel too much. People who do not know how to drive a 15-passenger van. The reason why the insurance is so high on them is because people don't understand they're top-heavy, and you jerk that thing too much, it'll tip over. It'll fishtail. Let's say you're going over to the right somewhere, the worst thing you do is take that wheel and just go to get right back. No, just gradually go back. Just gradually go back. The worst thing you can do in your life, for instance, just like people when driving on ice. People, you would think up here in the Northeast you would learn how to drive on ice. You never put your brake, your foot on the brake on ice, if you don't have to. You don't, because you're out of control. Your car is completely out of control at that time. That's why when I buy a car, I bought two new cars. They both had sticks on them, amen? Because when you're going down ice, you can't control with the brakes, but you can downshift. That means you can turn the wheel slower. You go from fifth to fourth to third to second to first, and you can actually slow the car wheels down. When you put your brakes on, you just slide. I'm telling you, you ever been in that position, you know what I'm talking about. You are out of control. Now, if you can pump it, you ought to pump your brakes. But a lot of times, you just overreact, and what the average person does, they just slam the brakes on like that, and you just slide like this, and there's no control, man. That car's going anywhere it wants to go. And you take that wheel sometimes, and you just go like this, and that's how wheels turn over, man. That's how cars flip over. People just overreact sometimes. People mess up their lives because they overact. Don't overreact. Take care of the problem that you have. Deal with the problem logically, maturely, intelligently, but don't overreact. It just takes sometimes a little turn of the wheel to correct your direction. Number 14, remember others are watching you, your testimony before the lost, and your example to the saved. It could be that God's allowing you to go through some things because a lost person is going through the same thing and they have no idea how to deal with it. Or somebody who is saved, a believer, is going through a similar situation, or they're going to go through something like that in the future and they're going to remember how you handled it. So the way you handle it is going to be either a lousy testimony to the lost or a good testimony to the lost. It's going to be a good example to somebody who's saved or a lousy example to somebody who's saved. Remember that there are others who are watching you. Number 15. What do you do when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut? It's not the end of the world. Years later, you may just be laughing about the difficult times that you wept about after you've matured and see how immaturely you handled the situation when it arose. How many times? By the way, this is why our suicide rate in America is off the charts. I'm telling you, this is the reason why people overreact. They think it's all over. No, it's not the end of the world. The sun's coming up tomorrow morning. You may not be here when the sun's coming up, but the sun, I guarantee, is going to come up tomorrow because God says it. Amen? It's coming up. This world ain't going to blow up. Don't you listen to these naysayers, you know, oh, what's going to happen? We're going to blow up. It ain't going to blow up. It may burn up soon. It ain't going to blow up. So what do? It's not the end of the world. So you're breathing. If you're awake, if you're conscious, if God's given you the alertness, then God's given you another day to do something, amen? It's not the end of the world. You just may be laughing about this 5 or 10 or 20 years later. You may not think that right now. You may not feel that way right now. You may be crying and weeping right now, and a broken heart right now, on unemployment line right now, just got fired. You know, you think you got bad news from the doctor. I understand. Your spouse just left you. I understand. Get rid of your pride. Don't worry about things that are not under your control. Don't worry about it. If they're not in your control, don't worry about it. Do not worry about things that are out of your control. Get rid of your pride and do what's right. Number one, what do you do when you feel like you've been kicked in the gut? Think and meditate on how great a salvation that you have. Number two, thank God that you have a King James Bible. Number three, praise God for prayer. Number four, church. Number five, soul winning. Number six, remember, God never promised you an easy life. Number seven, most moments like these are not as bad as they seem in the long run. Number eight, look for the silver lining. Number nine, be willing to learn from it. Number 10, look to see if God is using in your life to correct something that may not be right in your life, or to refine you, to be closer like Jesus. Number 11, be very slow in making any changes in the heat of a moment. Number 12, it may be that one area only needs repair or help in your life. Fix that area only. Number 13, never overreact. You may have to change a little bit or adjust a little bit, but don't overreact. Number 14, remember others are watching you. Number 15, it's not the end of the world. Number 16, it's always good to remember what Jesus went through when all his disciples forsook him in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's always good to know what he went through when he was nailed on the cross after he was falsely arrested, falsely accused, falsely tried, falsely judged, falsely imprisoned, and falsely sentenced, and falsely executed. Remember what John the Baptist had to go through. Remember what the Apostle Paul had to go through. Remember what Stephen, the first martyr of the New Testament, had to go through when he was stoned to death. Remember what Jeremiah, Micaiah, Daniel, Elijah had to go through. We've got it easy in America. As a matter of fact, we got it too soft in America, ladies and gentlemen. We're spoiled. Number 17, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 8, please. Romans chapter number 8. verse number 28. Romans 8, verse 28. I remember every time I read Romans 8, 28, I think about Liz Halleck. That's the day she died, August 28. I was there when she passed away, right next to her bed. Bud's wife. 8 years, Bud? How long's it been? 9 years. This August will be nine. Verse 28, and we know that all things, good or bad, work together for good to them that love God. To them were the called according to his purpose. Number 17, just love God and everything's going to work out all right. Just love God. It says all things, not the good things. All things work together for good to them that love God. So no matter what comes in my life, whether it's out of my control, whether somebody's done something purposely to hurt me, whether I didn't see it coming, whether I was blindsided, whether I got kicked in the gut, or whether I knew it was coming, I'm going to love God. I don't know how it's all going to unfold. I can't see the future. God can, though. I know this much. It'll all work together for good for me if I love God. I don't know what you've been through in your past, recently. I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. You just love God. You thank God that you're saved. You thank God you got a Bible. You thank God you go to prayer, amen, to God. You don't need a church building, amen. And I'll tell you what, lost people are very correct when they say, I don't have to go to church to pray to God. That's a very true statement, ladies and gentlemen. That's a very true statement. Very true statement. You can pray to God anywhere, amen. I say we remember those things and get back to basics, amen, and just love God, amen. And just thank God I'm saved. If nothing else ever turns out right, if the government comes and takes the building away, they can't take my salvation away, amen. If they confiscate all the Bibles after they confiscate all the guns, they can't take my salvation away, amen. If they put us behind bars because we're telling people about Jesus Christ, then we'll start a prison ministry right there, amen. That's all. What I'm saying is, just love God. Just love God. I know some people are having a tough time. I know sometimes it's difficult. Don't blow it out of proportion. Thank God that you're saved. And love God. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, there's not a one of us, if we care, if we try to do that which is right, that does not have any burdens or heartaches or trials or difficulties. We're swimming against the tide, we're going upstream against the flow of the water. All through history, Christians have caused friction for going the opposite direction of the world. And sometimes, dear God, whether it's at work, in the neighborhood, if people, for whatever reason, have a difficult time with us, health, home, finances, marriage, children, whatever the difficulty is, dear God, temptations, an addiction, dear God, help us to remember, Lord, it's good that we're saved. I think back and I can't believe in the blink of an eye, Lord, it's hard to believe that 35 years has passed this November. I just thank you, dear God, that someone had the courage and the compassion to give me a gospel tract and took the book of Romans and showed me how to go to heaven. Lord, I don't know what the problems that she had or the heartaches that she had, but she was willing to give the gospel that day. And Lord, likewise, help us not to forget, we're not here just for ourselves. We're here for others, to be a help and encouragement, and to see other people saved. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the people here. I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. I pray that you bless them, give them wisdom. Lord, you said in James 1:5 that you've promised to give wisdom to anybody who asks. And so, Lord, all of us are asking, really. We need wisdom. Bless. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, maybe they're here for the very first time, maybe they've become before, but they've never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior, I pray they'll get saved today. Maybe they're saved, but they've never been baptized in a Baptist church by immersion. Lord, I pray they get baptized today. Or whatever else need, dear God, that they have. Maybe a silent burden that they're carrying that nobody else knows about. A hurt they've been harboring or carrying. Dear God, I pray that you'd bless them, heal them, love them. Thank you again for loving us. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.